In the skies and on the highways, and that's going to be made worse by some severe weather. This man in New York has advice for those who will be driving.
Just give, you know, plenty of space in front of you on the roads and try to make sure that your partner is not freaking out while they're driving.
An overnight explosion at a chemical plant in East Texas, forcing people to evacuate after shattering windows some 40 miles away. The blast at the TPC Group plant in Port Neches set off a fire that's still burning, shooting flames hundreds of feet in the air. This is USA Radio News.
Thanksgiving is also National Family Health History Day, a good time to talk to your family about their health. Did you know that Ancestry Health is now delivering actionable insights for you and your family to help you start down the path toward better health? Marjan Champine, an Ancestry spokesperson, who's a board-certified and licensed genetic counselor.
Through a supportive, actionable, and affordable experience, Ancestry Health includes access to educational information, genetic counseling resources, printable, consumer, and physician-ready reports, and a family health history tool, so you can take proactive steps with your healthcare provider to address potential health risks identified in your genes and family health history.
Why is the time right for Ancestry Health?
Your genes don't need to be your destiny. Understanding your familial and inherited health risks can help you take action to improve your chances of better health now and in the future.
To start down the path toward better health, visit ancestry.com/health.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio. The weather today is high of 54 with a chance of rain, and mostly sunny tomorrow and breezy, high of 49. Thanksgiving Day looks pretty good. Friday, sunny and high of 44. Saturday, high of 42 and partly sunny. Looks like some snow on Sunday with a high of 44.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And we are very excited today to talk with Gary Sarkis. He is the Director of Operations for Students to Science. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Students to Science, it's the students, number two, science.org, if you want to check out their website. And we're also on Facebook today, at Happy Hunterdon, or look up Happy to Help, or on Facebook Live. And Gary, tell us about science and how you became part of the Students to Science Network.
Right. Well, I've been doing science for most of my life, you know, ever since I was little, digging up worms in the backyard and looking for salamanders and everything like that. You know, I went to school, fell in love with science. Thanks to my teachers when I was young, I was really excited about, you know, science. Went to the University of Pittsburgh for my PhD, but really was there because I wanted to be a veterinarian, and that's what my original thoughts were. But you know, as I learned to love science, I'm like, well, you know, I should stay in science because they pay you to go to school if you're a scientist and when you're a PhD, and vet school was very expensive. It was also at a time when being a veterinarian, they were trying to switch the majority from being male dominated to being more involved for women. So it was actually even harder to get into vet school than med school, and even harder for men at the time.
Wow.
So, but then I fell in love with science, and I've been a scientist ever since. I went on to do my postdoc at Yale University, and then I went to some small corporations. I started developing instruments like automated DNA sequencers to sequence people's DNA. Helped to sequence one of the first human genomes, and then started to work on robotic microscopes and driverless cars with some other small companies. And I worked for General Electric for about 8 years too, which was a fantastic opportunity too.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's a lot of exciting things going on in there. I know. Well, so what's not to love about science, right?
It's right.
Just, but it's not easy, right? So you just have a knack for it and you loved it, right? So that
right.
was the driving factor for you.
I have a passion for it, you'd say. I basically love figuring out new things. I love solving mysteries. And that's what, to me, what science is about. It's figuring out things that someone else doesn't know. And so, everybody thinks it's really, really hard. But, for me, it just comes naturally because I'm very inquisitive. I sort of want to figure out the next thing. Everybody says, my wife says, why do you do it? And I'm like, well, it's just something that I love. I love figuring out something. And if people are going to pay me to do it, then that's fantastic. There's a lot of opportunities out there to do science, and a lot of businesses have science involved in them.
Yeah, and I think that's the secret to what a lot of people need to find. You need to find, there's a Venn diagram out there, and it's the intersection of what you're good at, what you love to do, and what the world needs.
Right, right.
Right? So if you can find that sweet spot, you're good, and to get paid for it, you're good to go, right?
Yeah.
So sounds like you're in the zone, you're in the sweet spot, and you're also an avid volunteer, and the volunteering got you your new gig here at Students to Science. So tell us how that evolved.
Right. So, I was looking for jobs, because sometimes when you work for a startup, they don't always work out. So my latest startup that I was working with, which was making a driverless vision systems for instruments, including driverless cars and drones. But, that didn't work out, and so I was looking for something else to do, and I saw this organization called Students to Science, and I said, well, that's fun, and this looks like a really good organization. They're trying to make the next generation of scientists excited about science, and I said, I'm excited about science, so I want to make sure that the next generation goes on to love science like I do. And so I volunteered with them for a while, and they had a position open. They were actually building a new facility in Newark, New Jersey, and they were looking for someone to run that, and I applied for it, and it's worked out fantastically.
Yes, this is great. And I now let's back up a little bit too and tell people what Students to Science is all about. It bridges the needs of public and private sectors. Well, you can talk. There's so many cool things that you do. So go on the website. But what tell us about Paul and how it started and what they do.
Right. So we're actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year, which is fantastic. The organization really came about because Paul Winslow and a few other members of our board were sitting around one day, and they were looking for something to do with their lives too. They were sort of at the end of their careers. They've been very successful, and they said, they recognize the need for science education, and that more people are leaving science early and not going back to it, and they wanted to find a solution for that. And especially in the middle school grade levels and the high school grade levels, there was a trend for people love science when they're young. Like, remember when I was digging up worms mm-hmm. in the backyard and salamanders? We all start off with this basic, need to be inquisitive about things, to find out about stuff. And then, it tends that more people drift away as they're in grade school. And so we wanted to sort of try and reverse that. And so, our mission is to motivate and inspire and educate students about STEM education. And so, he said, let's develop a STEM center and bring students in and get them excited again. And so that's how the first facility in East Hanover came about.
That's incredible. And I think I don't know the truth to all that and all the background, but I think originally the school system was designed to output factory workers, right? Because we're in the middle of the Industrial Revolution,
yeah,
right? And so that, right. I mean, that's how schools were designed way back when. And
right.
Now because the whole industry's changed, but things, it takes a long time to change these patterns, right?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So now that, you've got the rise of Montessori and some other things that encourage creativity. But the one thing, and there's an incredible video on the website of Paul Winslow, the founder, who had no one in his family had gone to college.
Right, right. So he's a first generation person to go to college. And the same with me, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, and then both of you end up with PhDs.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You just kept going. You just did postdoc work. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
So that's incredible. But the thing that he said that sat with me in the video, it says, studying science, it teaches you a logical process in thinking. So
that's
it teaches
right.
you how to think. And so it's good. And, you know, even if you don't pursue it in the long haul, you've got a good foundation for whatever you want to do, right?
Right. So problem-based learning is really important. And some schools have gotten away from that. You know, it's basically read the textbook, memorize the textbook, and repeat the answers back to me, right? And that's not how a scientist learns. Scientists have to be naturally inquisitive. They want – we try to ask – we try to get the students to ask questions. We try to get them to be inquisitive, because if you just spoon-feed them, they don't – it doesn't soak in. So having them come to our facility, so we have two research facilities that basically bring in 48 students a day.
Wow.
We keep them for the day, and we take them through different laboratory experiments and STEM experiments so that they are scientists for the day. They put on the lab coat. The lab coat makes them feel empowered. It's sort of like, we think it's like a cape for a superhero. You put the lab coat on, you put gloves on, you put goggles on, then we put them into the laboratory. And we're not a museum. We're a real research facility. We bring the students in, and just the expressions on their faces makes it all worthwhile. They're excited to be there. And you can't get this opportunity in the school. Schools don't have the capacity or the capability to do research like we can do it at the facility.
Right. It doesn't it say their white coats say making science make sense?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's so cute. I love that.
Yeah
well, so because you're embedded with the Newark district, right? So do they just churn and burn some different kids? Because it's elementary all the way through high school, right? Or
so,
does it depend? Okay.
Yeah. So our program serves 5th through 12th grade.
Okay.
And so we do the latter year in elementary school, and then we do the middle school and the high schools, and we have different programs that are targeted and align with the next generation science standard to the school's needs.
Yeah.
So we're also following, you know, the New Jersey guidelines.
Okay.
That they've adopted at the schools, and so our program also follows a lot of the curriculum that's in the schools, so it's appropriate for the right grade level.
Yeah, and do they? Is it part of the basic curriculum in Newark? So they just everybody's got a day assigned for the class or the school or whatever. So that's why you're able to get so many kids in there every day.
Right. So the Newark site is specifically partnered with the Newark Public Schools.
Okay.
And we have an arrangement with them, and our goal. And working with them is to bring every eighth grader into the facility so that they can experience. A day of STEM, but we also have our virtual lab program, and the virtual lab program has activities where we broadcast live, just like we're broadcasting here, except you know, we go out to each one of the schools. The schools join a broadcast where our instructor teaches them live, and again, it's a question based type of experience where they're doing the experiment, we're doing the experiment, but there's an open communication back and forth, and we ask them to ask questions. What do you think we're going to need? What do you think is going to happen next? What do you think we should do next in the experiment so that they are problem-based learning? Again, not just spoon-feeding them and telling them what to do. They have to actually think about what they're going to do, and that's how scientists learn, and they have fun.
Yeah, get those gears going, right?
Right.
In the brain. All right, well, we've got a lot to cover, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber, As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. And we're talking with Gary Sarkis, who's the Director of Operations for Students to Science. And they're at students2science.org. They're also on Facebook. And they are making science make sense for thousands of students in Newark and around the state. And I'm going to let Gary take it away and give you all these great statistics and data of all the good stuff they're doing.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we've actually helped over 65,000 students in the last 10 years, which is fantastic. And we actually are up to doing about 30,000 students a year or more. And so we're going to be adding to that total a lot because we've opened up the second site. But we're basically bringing 21st century STEM skills and global competencies to the students. So we're basically making sure that they're ready for the workforce, the workplace when they get out. Because a lot of them, again, there's a lot of jobs in science, but because they drift away from science, they're not quite ready. And that's really nice too. It helps the local communities because the corporations and the companies want to hire locally. They'd rather hire locally than bring in people. It's actually less expensive for them. Yeah. And so that's why they're willing to help us too, with our organization. So we get a lot of people coming in volunteering from those organizations. And that's a fantastic opportunity too, because the students get to work side by side by real professionals. So they get to work with scientists that work for PSE&G and Panasonic. And also a lot of the schools that are around also send people to work. And some of those are great too, because they're younger people that are just in school. Right. So we get volunteers from the local colleges like Rutgers and NGIT also to come in to the facility.
Yeah. Well, and I think the intergenerational interaction is so key for everybody. That's why I think volunteering is such a great opportunity because you get a different perspective. You're not smushed in with your cohort like you usually are, and you're able to interact with different people and different backgrounds and different thought processes. And I mean, it's such an expansive opportunity in so many ways.
Yeah, volunteering at Students to Science is really great. It's personally beneficial too. You get the satisfaction of coming in and doing something great for the kids that are there. But you also get to meet a lot of interesting people that you wouldn't have met. So again, we have people from all over New Jersey come in. We have young people from the colleges come in. So the colleges get to meet career professionals, to talk to them. They also get to talk to the students that are there to help mentor them, to guide them along, to let them know, why science is important, because a lot of times that picture is not very clear. And we think if we can paint that picture and show them that the value of staying in STEM will lead to careers like the people that they're meeting when they're working in the labs, that will help to inspire them. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we were saying it's a win, 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 win. It's so amazing. Yeah, and we also talked about how science, even Paul, the founder, he was a scientist, but he was also an entrepreneur. So right. There's definitely a creative side. Well, with all these patents and everything, there's a creative side to it, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and really, it's about innovation, and we want people to keep being inspired to think about stuff. And, critical thinking is part of what we teach. It's part of STEM education. It's part of being a scientist. And if you can critically think about stuff and be innovative, those are some of the traits of a scientist. And we try and instill those in the students as they come through.
Yeah. And so how do you get them off their phones and into science? That's what everybody wants to know. How do we do that?
Right. Well, while they're at the facility, they're actually not allowed to use their phones. Okay. So that's actually really good too. But they don't mind. They don't notice. So, Newark is our model system. It's a national model. It was developed to basically with the learning that we had from East Hanover. So East Hanover, was around for 8 years. We learned a lot about how to run the programs there, developed a lot of the programs there, and then we moved into Newark and developed a new site there. And that site there, we have a much better relationship with Newark Public Schools. We also have a great relationship with the city. And so that has allowed us to foster and develop a really great facility and a program there that is tailored to the students of Newark.
Yeah, and I think also globally, the
because statistics show that I think China graduates has something like 40% of people pursuing STEM, whereas in the U.S. it's only 13%. I don't know if my
right. stats are right. So the United States is definitely on a downward trend, and we're also realize that that's not really great. We don't think that that's great. We want to reverse that trend. We want more people going into science and technology because that's where a lot of the jobs are. There's a huge job market. Just think about everything that you do every day. You go on your cell phone, right? That's technology. The ultimate technology, your television, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, the fuel you use to heat your homes, everything that we do in society today, as we get more and more people, as the population grows, we're going to have some sort of solution for that growing population, diseases, medications, all that involves some sort of scientific breakthroughs that are going to have to come with the next generation. So we got to make sure that that next generation is ready, and that's why I want, you know, to be involved in this. And my passion is to get those students as excited about science as I am.
And I think you're doing a great job. And the other area that's very popular among the students is the environment, right?
Absolutely.
So I have to tell you, I submitted my idea on the site last night. So my idea, and I forgot to put my name, so maybe someone will take the patent. I don't know. Oh. But no, my idea is to have I'm calling it a community clamshell, where you have a reusable plastic container that you take wherever you go, like your plastic bag. And then if
right.
you have leftovers from a restaurant,
yeah,
you can put it there, or you can take it with you. So I go to the same place for soup or sandwiches. You know, it's like my community, my local deli.
Right.
So have a container where you just take it in, and they, you know, I don't know if there's food laws against this or whatever, but I mean, or Board of Health is going to come after me. But you know, you take that in and say, hey, here's my clamshell, just put my sandwich in here today, and
right.
then you don't have the waste.
Right, absolutely.
So I typed it up and put it on there. So
it's like, you know, the grocery stores now are having people
right.
bring their own bags, right?
Right.
Of the plastic bags, just bad for the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in California, yeah. they've outlawed them.
Yes.
They outlawed them already.
Yeah,
so it's coming this way. It's just small.
Yeah, and every little thing will help, because, again, a lot of little things done by a lot of people
yes.
will make a big difference.
Yes, right? And it's a habit. It's just a habit. And I did like everyone else. I brought my plastic bags my reusable bags to the store, but then I would leave them in the car at
right.
first, and I forgot. But then I remembered, you know, it's just a changing your habits one thing at a time, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
A lot of the programs that we have the students run through while they're at the facility are really related to current day problems, whether they're fuel shortages. So we have them make biofuels, so we don't rely on fossil fuel anymore. We teach them. They actually make it right in the lab. They purify it. They have fun. They get to set it on fire to show that it actually is a
fire
fuel.
Is always good, right?
Yeah, you know, that's what we do, is we try to get the students excited about the stuff, whether it has a smell, it has a taste, it has a feel, it sees, you know, it fizzes, it does something that's tangible to them, right? And that's what they can't do by just reading a book, right? So they get to do that sort of experiment, whether it's through our virtual lab program or when they come into the facility and they get to use the really high-end instrumentation that we have at the facility, they feel empowered.
Right, and with experiments, they keep talking about kids need to fail more because they aren't failing enough. So you can fail over and over again with an experiment, right? That's
absolutely.
Prime failure,
yeah.
Right? Perfect.
And that's an important lesson too. It's okay to fail, you know. But the idea is that what went wrong? Sometimes you can learn a lot by things that went wrong. I have for sure for my career.
Isn't that what Thomas Edison did over and over again, or
yep.
Ben Franklin, all those guys?
You've got to try.
Yeah, and the Thomas Edison Museum is right in Orange, isn't it? One of the oranges.
I think so.
I mean, if you haven't been there, go. We went. Right. I think it's in one of the oranges or something. But it's a great place to see. And talking about experiments, so you told me about one of your favorite experiments. So let's take us through the fish forensics experiment.
Sure. This is a high school experiment that we have. So the students come in for a day, and they'll spend all day on this one experiment. So they're going to go into the lab, and we basically have got. Five different samples of fish from a local supermarket, and this fish is labeled wild-caught salmon, right? But is it really wild-caught salmon, and how do you know if it's wild-caught salmon? It looks like salmon to the normal consumer. It's pink. It's, you know, it looks like salmon. It smells like fish, and it probably tastes like fish to the average person. I'm sure a connoisseur of salmon might be able to tell the difference by taste, but scientifically, we interrogate that salmon, so we take all of the different salmon pieces, and they grind them up and they start doing stuff with them. So we look to see molecularly, is it salmon or not? So they run gels just like in a science lab, and they look at the patterns for different separated products, and there's a standard that is salmon. We tell them that this is the salmon, and so they compare the patterns after they isolate them, and lo and behold, one of them is not. You know, it's some other fish. We don't know what kind of fish it is, but it's definitely not salmon because it doesn't look like all the other salmons. And you can't tell until you look, you know, down at that molecular level whether it's salmon or not, because they've disguised it, right? So what else do they disguise it? So they have to artificially color it. So if it's a farm-raised salmon, first of all, it might be real salmon, but if it's raised on the farm, it eats usually corn products, right? It doesn't eat wild shrimp that makes it get its pink color.
Right.
So they have to artificially color it. So we have them isolate the pigment from the salmon and see whether it's wild caught or whether it's artificially colored. And, you know, if it's artificially colored, then that means that, oh, it was farm raised. It's not wild caught either. So there's some false advertising there. And then, you know, does it have antibiotics in it? Because, you know, the farmers want to make sure their fish are healthy. And so they put antibiotics in, but some people don't want antibiotics in their food, right? And so it's also false advertising. If you have wild caught salmon, but it's been raised on a farm, it might really be salmon or it might not be salmon. And it might have antibiotics or not. In some countries, it's okay to put antibiotics in your food, and others it's not. And so we can actually tell, so the students come away with if it's real salmon or not, if it's farm raised or not, and also where in the world it was raised, because we know the legal laws of whether, you know, you can add antibiotics or not to different types of farm salmon. And so at the end of the day, they have to put all this evidence together, and they come up and they have to tell us the story. So they actually get up in front of us as a group, and they report out their results just like real scientists do. And so that's really fun for them. They have a great time with that one.
That's very cool. What about plastic? Isn't there plastic in basically everything we eat now, too?
There's plastic everywhere, absolutely. Microplastics and these sorts of things. And so, you know, that's actually one of the labs that we're thinking of considering for the future, is developing labs where we look for microplastics in tissue and stuff like that. So we're always we're also staying current and cutting edge, too. So as we change in society and new stuff is done, we want to include those kinds of labs at Students of Science, too.
Yeah, that makes it. Now, how are you getting down your list there? Is there more stuff on your list we
need
to talk
about?
There's
a lot of stuff on my list. Yeah.
Let's hit it.
So again, we basically have a strong connection between the public and the private sectors, right? So one of the things that we do is we bring in corporations. We have those work side by side with the students so that we can see the connections there. We have a lot of fantastic partners that help support us financially, but also they provide the volunteers that get to work side by side with the students, and it's beneficial for them too. A lot of employees, when they go to work for companies, they want to do something, they want to give back, and so the employers give them these chances to come and spend days of volunteering with us, and so that's really fantastic too.
Yeah, I think a lot of companies with their corporate social responsibility programs, they offer volunteer time off.
Absolutely.
That's a new part of the whole corporate culture, yeah. And you had a story about one young man that kind of went through the program, and he's become your star speaker and star student.
Yes.
So tell us about him.
So we have a couple, but one of the ones that really has been a great story is Namase. So I don't want to say his full name. But Namase came in to the program as a student, and then he approached us later about being a volunteer, and so we had him do some internships over the summer. So we had him do two internships. He was with us for 2 years, and then in the third year, he was still excited, but he was actually recruited by one of our corporate partners, Thermo Fisher Scientific, and they actually had him go to their site in Delaware. He was an intern for them over the summer, so now he's moved on from just students to science to a large major corporation that sells instrumentations all over the United States. And he's actually up in Boston right now in pharmacy school.
Nice.
So a very great success story. Wow. You know, he loves students of science. He keeps coming back to visit, and he volunteers now to tell students about his story.
Yeah, he's like your ambassador, right?
He's one of them, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. Yeah. I mean, and then it'll just keep ballooning. The more stories and the more people that, you know, hear this and
right.
they want to, yeah, get
yeah.
involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so tell us how people can get involved if they want to. If you're not a scientist, can you still help?
Sure. And as a matter of fact, you know, it's funny because a lot of people don't think they're scientists, but they work for companies that are really involved in science, right? So a lot of people say, well, I'm in finance. I'm really not really a scientist. But STEM, the M is mathematics, right? So finance, you know, architecture, forensics, you know, even working as a detective for the police force, there's science involved in that. Lots of opportunities in science. But we love to have people you know, even broadcasting, right? There's all the technology involved in broadcasting. There's, you know, videography. There's sound recordings. And that's always improving. It's always getting better. Things are always getting smaller, faster, you know, more portable. And all of that is really related to science. So you might not think that you are related to science, but you are. And that's the kind of story we want to tell the students about because we want them to be involved. And you might say, well, I don't know that much about what you're doing in the lab that day. And that's perfectly fine too, because we really help the volunteers adjust. And really you're there to be the mentor to basically help, you know, give the students confidence as they're coming through, plus also to tell your little story and then basically, you know, just reaffirm why, you know, STEM education is important while you're there. And so you might not know much more than they do about the science we're doing that day, but you're going to learn it, you're going to have fun, and our staff is there to help you too.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I maybe I'll have to check it out. I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun. Do you have more on your list there that we
can
talk about?
No, I'm okay. Pretty much covered.
You're good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk more about, you need volunteers, but you also need funding, right? Can people help out if they don't have time right now, but they love science and they want to donate?
Right. So yeah, we definitely look for people to help us out as we grow and as we develop new relationships with the community. We are a nonprofit, and so every year we have to raise the funds to support the organization, you know, and running a facility and running these virtual laboratories, reaching out to the communities you know, there's a certain expense to that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we definitely have corporate sponsors. We have private sponsors, too, that help us out, too. But, you know, every year those have to be renewed, right? Mm-hmm. So usually they're short-term commitments. And some of them are very, very generous. We love our donors. But, you know, just like most nonprofits, it's an ongoing effort. So, absolutely.
Right. And do you have an annual gala or do you have – certain events that people could go and check out and meet some of the people?
We do. We have open houses, and these things will be advertised on our website. Or also, if you want to get on our mailing list, we can put you on the mailing list to tell you about these sorts of things. We have opportunities in Newark and in East Hanover. So, you know, we're in two different locations, so it's easier for people to reach us. Some people don't like to come into Newark, but, you know, we make it as easy as possible. So if you come into Newark to be a volunteer or to help support us, we'll actually pay for your parking. We'll give you instructions. And when you're there as a volunteer, we're going to give you breakfast and lunch.
Wow.
Food
is always good. So, you know, no salmon, right?
No salmon. We don't eat the experiments. Yeah.
All right. Well, also, we were talking earlier about how, you know, science, you think it's very regimented and you've got the lab coat and gloves and all the goggles and stuff, but there's a logical thinking process, but also there's a huge, fostering of creativity that's required.
Absolutely.
In science, right?
Yeah. So that open-ended thinking and, you know, ability to take risks, right? So science is about taking risks also. And when you're in the lab, they're very structured. So, of course, we want the students to succeed while they're there because you love to be successful. But people make mistakes, especially because this is the first time the students will be doing the experiment. Different experiments, different students will get different results, right? And so we ask them, well, why do you think you didn't get the right answer, right? You might have pipetted something wrong. And a lot of people need that skills. It's an acquired skill. And so, you know, people aren't going to get it the first time, but it's that trying it and doing it over and over again that allows you to succeed. A lot of, you know, when I was in school, I was really a biologist. I was a bio expert in everything. I did biology, molecular biology, microbiology, but I didn't really know much about engineering and computer science. But it was only after working side by side with those people that I learned to speak their language. I learned more about what they did just on the job sort of training and inquisition and being curious about stuff and wanting to learn that, which allowed me to sort of run projects and take over the development of, you know, larger projects and eventually, you know, come to Students of Science to help run that facility, which is, you know, again, I never thought I would be doing this, but it's, you know, a dream come true, really.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and you touched on something. Stay curious, right?
That's absolutely
the key, is stay curious, push yourself outside your comfort zone, ask questions, don't be afraid, take that first step. You know, what's the worst that can happen, right?
Absolutely. So a lot of the first things people tell kids when they're little is don't do that, right? So they're interested in about
something.
They've got an egg and put that down, it's going to break. Well, maybe they should be allowed to break the egg, right? Maybe they should be allowed to, that's an experiment, right? Well, why is that egg, why does it survive when it's hard boiled? Why does it survive when, you know, I drop it from 10 inches, but not, you know, 3 feet, you know? And those are the fun things that kids sometimes don't get the opportunity to learn about because we overprotect them a little bit. We stop their curiosity.
Right. And I think that was, I remember that from junior high. We had to drop an egg from the second story window in the junior high. And we had to come up with these contraptions.
To catch it.
To drop it and have it not break.
Right.
Like that was the thing. And I don't remember what we did or how it worked, but I mean, that was fun, right?
Yeah.
It was a team effort, right? You're building skill sets and working
with
the team and solving a problem. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Well, so tell us about so you started volunteering, but you've been at the helm of this incredible new facility, and they had the opening, the grand opening this summer, right?
Right. The grand opening was actually last summer.
Okay.
It really was fantastic. We had actually run the labs for a few days, and then there was the grand opening, and, you know, lots of people came to visit a lot of the corporations, and Newark School leadership came. We even had Cory Booker there, so that was fun to see him in person. You know, you don't get to meet people like that every day usually. And we had the students there, so it was a mixture of students. We were running a program that day, and, you know, we basically launched the site with, you know, some hoopla, which was fun.
And it's going great, and it's the model, like you said, you're hoping. Think the Paul said that they hope to have 10,000 facilities in the next X number of years, right? I mean, you're starting. I don't know. That's what, maybe I read it wrong, but
I think maybe
10,000 students.
Students, yes.
Yeah, no, yeah, that'd be a lot.
Yeah.
But and some of the stats here too. STEM occupations are projected to grow by 9% for the next, you know, 5-10 years. And STEM workers earn 29% more than non-STEM counterparts in 2015, and it's probably just going to go up, right?
Right. A lot of people don't realize the value in those occupations, right? And there are a lot of those occupations. You know, we're working currently with a lot of partnerships to develop new projects too. So a lot of our partners, they are really getting involved. So they just don't want us to succeed. They want to help us to bring light projects that we think the community should know about. So we're actually working side by side with a few companies to develop new experiments. And so that's really fun. So we, you know, originally we were just developing them ourselves, or we were learning about them and coming from our own scientists. But now it's the corporations and the companies that we work with, and even the academic institutions are coming to us and saying, hey, we have an idea that we think would be a great laboratory that maybe you should incorporate. And so that's a fantastic thing. So it's starting to come back around to us even.
Right, because they're solving real-world problems, right? Because they're in the marketplace. They see what the world needs, what the demand is for, what the problems are, and right?
Right, yeah. And the other thing that Students of Science wants to do is to bring together people, because we sometimes realize that some of the connections between different organizations and people are missing. And so we want to host, you know, meetings where we bring together partners that wouldn't have normally gotten together to talk about, you know, STEM education and improving the local community and making that connection to their corporations much stronger.
Right, because if you're in a certain discipline and that's what you know and that's what you're focused on and you're doing good work, but you never know where insight and innovation is going to come if someone just interjects a totally different opinion, right? That
right.
you wouldn't necessarily hear if you're just in, you know, you're at your own water cooler. You need to branch out, right?
Right, absolutely.
So yeah, that the synergy just kind of comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very cool. And I think I was curious about what the logo is. You redid the logo or relaunched the logo?
Oh yeah, so it's our 10-year anniversary logo was redone basically to basically advertise that we've been around for 10 years. And we are a New Jersey organization. We were developed here in New Jersey, and we mostly serve New Jersey, although we do have some schools come all the way from Pennsylvania and New York to our East Hanover site. But yeah, the logo was redone just for this year. It's fine.
I couldn't figure out what it is. Is it like a? It looks like a stock market thing. I don't know.
It's basically the elements of science. So basically, there's a graph in right? Okay. And there's a decision tree.
Is that the green thing?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm like, what is?
So it means stuff sort of to us, but okay, you know, to a lot of people, it's hard to it's pretty cool, but what does that all mean? I think even sometimes we don't know what it means.
I know because I'm curious, and I'm like, okay, what is this,
I know, and it did what it was supposed to do. It sparks curiosity, right? And what is that? Why we ask? Well, we get people to ask the question of what does it mean, right?
Yeah,
and
works for me.
That's what science is about, right?
No, that's great, and so that's very cool. So what else? What other can you highlight? Any of your volunteers that have, from the industry that have come in, that stories of a volunteer that kind of sparks your. That they've just really stepped up and had a great time at the.
Sure. So our volunteers are fantastic, and several of them come from local colleges and stuff. And actually, those are the fun ones because some of those have actually turned into my employees, which is great. So they come in, they love it. They end up volunteering numerous times, and they sort of have an idea what they want to do. They know that they want to go into science, but there's so many choices in science, and because they get to meet people while they're at the facility. And they're not quite ready to jump into the corporate world. They end up telling me that they're interested in working, and so if a position opens up and they're great, it's a perfect opportunity for me too because I already done the interview with them basically by knowing that they're a fantastic volunteer.
Yeah.
And so they fit really perfectly. So that's sort of a younger volunteer, but we also have corporate volunteers from say Thermo Fisher Scientific that come through, and because they're one of our sponsors, they love to work side by side with the students and see that their investment has paid off, and it's that seeing the students, that's what it's all about, is seeing the joy and the value, and I can tell you about it and I can tell people about it, but until you're there and you see it, and people say that all the time, they're like, wow, it sounded fantastic, but now that I've been here, it's even more fantastic than what I've read about. So
The energy is palpable, right? And you can't get that unless you're there.
Absolutely, right? That energy is there to see the students in their lab coats, how excited they are, how focused they are. So again, the facility has 6 research laboratories in it in Newark, and it's designed with a central aisle that goes through the middle. That's where we bring a lot of our guests through. And we do this while the students are in the labs. And so, in order for them to stay focused, they're sort of isolated in these little laboratories, but they have large windows so that they can look out and we can look in as we're giving a tour or we're having a guest come through. And the thing is that the students are so focused, they don't usually notice. I can make faces into the window, and they don't see me doing that. Mm-hmm. And they maintain their focus and their enthusiasm about the experiment that they're doing.
Yeah. So do you just sign up for a tour on the website and they just have them periodically, or how does that work?
So you can contact anybody as Students of Science and just say you're interested in a tour. And again, I'm always there to give tours. We love having people come through because we want, the news to spread. We want people to see the value of our organization and what we're doing for the students.
Yep. And that's why we're talking about it today. All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and we're back with Happy to Help at Happy Hunterdon on Facebook. And today we're talking with Gary Sarkis. He's the Director of Operations for Students to Science. It's a incredible organization helping kids get excited about science and bridging the needs of the public and private sectors. And they've got two facilities, one in East Hanover and one a giant 10,000 square foot facility in Newark. And we're going to dive into the actual experiments or the programs that they do.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so we do have two major ways that we reach out to students, one of which is we bring them into the facility. That's called our Isaac program. And that's where the students will come in either in middle school, usually eighth grade, or high school. Usually it's chemistry or biology related, but we're expanding to other technologies. And they come in for the day to do hands-on experiments. And we do things that we talked about, one of them, which was the fish forensics. But we also do biofuels, where they will understand that, you know, the fuels that we normally use today are going to run out, and they're not as clean. And so how do we make fuels? So we make them out of sugar. So we use corn, and they ferment the corn. They convert it into ethanol. They have to purify the ethanol, and then, you know, they basically have to show what they can be used for, right, which is the power something, right? And so we'll also do diseases. Diseases are really important. We have a couple of different laboratories that are involved in understanding how diseases are spread. How do you develop an immunity to a disease? So what's a vaccine? Why are vaccines good? How do they work? Also, how are diseases spread? How do you trace back from a disease outbreak who started the outbreak or where it started from?
That would be cool, right?
We do that too. That's detective a fun work. Experiment. It's a detective work again. So a lot of it is, you know, something has happened. How do we figure out the cause of it? And so those are the fun ones. We do sunscreen. We do so we talk about sunscreen and why UV radiation is bad for you, but it also can be used for good things in science. And so then we talk about, you know, what's in a sunscreen. And so they'll isolate the compounds, they'll test the compounds, and they'll see that, oh, UV light needs several compounds to block and put on your skin. And what else is valuable to having in a sunscreen? Well, it has to smell good, it has to last a long time, it has to, you know, prevent being washed off by the water. So lots of science in something very simple that you don't really think about, like a sunscreen. You know, even we get on to the level of acids and bases, but we make it fun with them. So we have them use a Tums tablet, and they break open the Tums tablet, which has an acid neutralizing agent in it, and then they add acid to it, and they see, well, how much acid can I add to the Tums tablet before it stops working? And so they look at pH, and first of all, they look at the color, but then they move on from a color change, which is easy for them to understand and see, to looking at a number. So they use a pH meter, and they see that, oh, the pH changes, but it stops changing after I add so much acid, which means that the buffering agent has stopped working, right? And so they see that. So it's a slow problem-based learning where they see a color change. They know it has a numerical value now. And then we take them to the ultimate technology, so Thermo Fisher Scientific has provided instrumentation that's an automatic titrator. So all they do then is they push a single button, and it does all of the stuff that they were doing before manually, and it shows you know, how an innovative instrument and high technology can help make our lives easier. So they see the full connection between, you know, very simple science that they're learning to something very useful like this instrument that Thermo Fisher has developed. And what was really fun was that Thermo Fisher sells those instruments. They provided to us the first two off of their assembly line. So it's like a new car. New car is being released.
Wow.
And they appreciate what we're doing, they gave us the first two off the assembly line, which was fantastic.
Yeah, and it's cool to have that gadget that calculates it all for you, but it's nice to also know where it originated from and the basic skills from, from the get-go.
If you don't understand what the instrument is doing and how it works, it's not as much value to you.
And
for these students, that's really a great experience for them to see how it progressed and how we've made something fantastic like that. And that shows one of the things, what are we going to need in the future that takes something and makes our lives easier?
Right, because then if you isolate that process and make it so easy and fast, then you can leapfrog into the next generation of innovation, right?
Right,
it just gets you to, it's like a light year leap into something else that you're going to discover, right?
And again, it's making science make sense. I'm going to keep doing this now.
No, it's like I'm Italian, too. I'm like, all right, I act like I'm Italian. But no, that's good. Well, you're passionate about what you do, and you're expressing that, in wholeheartedly. So that's very cool. And, so we can sign up for volunteer. You can volunteer if you're a scientist or not a scientist, or if you just want to tour the facility. We were just talking.
Right.
I think I'm going to get my book club to go for a tour.
Oh,
that
fantastic.
Would be fun,
yeah.
Right?
And the volunteer opportunities can be very easy. So we have three different kinds. So you can come to the facility. You can come for a full day or a half day because we have a break in the middle. So if you didn't want to come for the whole day and you only had a half day, you could come for the morning or the afternoon. Or you could come for the full day and work side by side with the students, to basically be there to inspire them. But we also can have you come in as a volunteer to our virtual program. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you don't even have to leave your own home or your own workspace. You can actually just use your smartphone or your laptop. We'll send you a link, and we'll pull you onto the live broadcast, just like we're live broadcast here. Where you can join in and you can basically tell them about why STEM is important and maybe about a little bit about your career and how you came to be where you are and why they should stay focused in STEM education. And we'll help coach you through that too. But that's a nice little introduction to one of our virtual labs. And then we'll run the virtual lab. You can hang on and watch it if you want. But that inspirational message is really valuable to the students.
So you're like just an impromptu guest speaker, right? For this experiment. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great. Well, and I think it's so important because I'm all about exposure. When my kids were little, I just exposed them to random things and, to see what sticks or what they show interest in. And so I think people, when you grow up, you can be a firefighter, a doctor, a lawyer, but there's a gazillion other things you can be in science. But until you know what that might be, you don't even, your mind doesn't go there.
Yeah. We have people that are in places that, most people don't exist. Like the Picatinny Arsenal has, people there that are doing science. They're making things. They want to, tell people what they do there. And so they're engineers, right? They're developing stuff there. So engineers or computer scientists or all sorts of livelihoods are really tied into STEM.
And the one guy on the video, I think he's on your board, they do stuff for rockets, for the space program, for satellites.
Absolutely.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, so we've had people from NASA join and provide these messages. So yeah, absolutely.
I know. Yeah, it's very, very exciting stuff. And we have a few more minutes, but I do want to take a quick time out or to discuss Giving Tuesday because it's that we're coming up on Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Right.
And then everyone's heard of Black Friday, which the consumerism is crazy. And then we've got Shop Small Business Saturday.
Right.
And then Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
And then on Tuesday, December 3rd, is Giving Tuesday.
Right.
So this show is all about that. I've been posting the websites and sharing posts from the different Facebook groups or Facebook pages of all the people that have been on the show, all the organizations. So Giving Tuesday is if you want to get caught up in it and give $5, $20, $100, it's a good thing. It keeps growing. It was developed by the 92nd Street Y in New York and the UN about a decade ago or so. But it's a very exciting thing to get involved with. And it's a good way to look at different organizations, give them some money and participate in Giving Tuesday because we all are so blessed with an abundance of everything in where we are, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just want to give a shout out. So Giving Tuesday, get on there and look at all the past posts that I've been doing on Facebook and we've had everybody on here from Homefront to animals to environment to bicycles around the world to I never run out of people to talk to because there's really so many great people doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And I want you, and wouldn't you agree that like the key to happiness is helping others?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But do you want to talk about how like the lightning bolt hit you and?
Yeah. So I mean, I always liked, I was in my industry in when I was getting my degrees and stuff. I always liked teaching. I always liked providing, giving back in some sort of way, right? And so, whether it was a new employee or it was someone that we were working with, I always wanted to help them out, you know. And so, this is a perfect opportunity for us now is to help the students. It's to help our volunteers. And even, you know, when the volunteers come in, they get to learn about, you know, science also. And they get to meet people. They get to meet people, you know, that are giving back, because that's what our whole organization is about, is making sure that next generation of students that's coming through stays engaged, realizes the opportunities that are out there for them in academia and in the corporate world. And that connection is really important to make. And you might say, oh, well, when are you in business? And we have, every time there's a school day, we have students coming in. Okay. So, you know, anytime basically from 8:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon, we have time if you can volunteer.
No, that's great. And I think people should check it out, because I think on my Facebook page, my little saying or my motto is philanthropy, the new community, mm-hmm. right? Because when we all lived in smaller neighborhoods and we didn't have such busy lives, we helped each other out at the church or in the neighborhood just because we were all close to one another. But Absolutely. Now everyone's going 90 different directions, 90 miles an hour, and we're missing that community. We're missing it.
Right.
So by finding a cause you care about and getting engaged and getting involved and interacting with actual humans for a good cause, that's the true meaning of giving and happiness.
Absolutely.
That's the way I see it anyway. And you're backing me up on that. All right. So thank you, Gary. It was really fun to have you, and happy Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day to you too. I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The thick of the Thanksgiving travel period has begun, but a pair of powerful storms are threatening to overpower the estimated 55 million Americans who are expected to travel away from home for the holiday. A heavy snowstorm already stranding over 1,000 travelers at Denver International Airport yesterday. The same storm could be causing headaches at Minneapolis-St. Paul today, and a new storm is blowing in on the West Coast today, putting another 17 million people in Southern California and Arizona under flash flood watches. Traveling yesterday to Florida was President Trump for a Keep America Great campaign rally at Sunrise, where he told supporters,
"Our beautiful America is thriving like never before. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come."
USA Radio News.
Black Friday starts now at Banana Republic Factory. Get 60% off everything and an extra 60% off clearance. Shop our biggest sale of the year with cozy sweaters from $19.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory. Black Friday starts now at Banana Republic Factory. Get 60% off everything and an extra 60% off clearance. Shop our biggest sale of the year with cozy sweaters from $19.99. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141.
That's 800-215-5141.
At least three people injured after an explosion at a chemical plant in East Texas overnight that set off a fire that's still burning, shooting flames hundreds of feet in the air. President Trump reportedly knew about the whistleblower complaint before releasing military aid that he had initially withheld from Ukraine. That's according to the New York Times. White House lawyers reportedly telling Trump about the complaint that's at the heart of the impeachment inquiry. John Schnatter, the founder of Papa John's, says he was set up. He tells a Fox TV affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky, that rivals within the company forced him out after it was revealed he had used the N-word during a conference call.
Steve Ritchie, Olivia Curley, the board of directors, all used the black community and race as a way to steal the company. And they stole the company, and now they've destroyed the company.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800. 800-